Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on the Word of God today is our first scripture reading, the book of Acts, chapter 17, beginning at the 16th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, book of Hebrews, chapter 2, it says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, our Lord Jesus, likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." Much like today, the ancient world of the Bible had large cities, large metropolitan areas. We today have L.A. or San Francisco, or out east you have New York or Atlanta. Back then, they had the same thing. They had Rome, of course. That was the capital city. They had Alexandria in Egypt. They had Antioch in Syria. And they also had Athens, mentioned in today's first lesson. Now, Athens was not the biggest city. Just like today, it's not the biggest of cities, but it was a very famous city. It was renowned for its great learning. It was renowned for its philosophical schools. We would say that it was a university town. Athens was renowned for the arts. You can think of architecture, the Parthenon, for instance. It was renowned for poetry and for literature. It was renowned for sculpture, sculptures that today you even look at them and they're very lifelike, almost seeming to be alive. Athens was famous for theater. They had theater festivals quite frequently. These are things that you had to memorize in high school or study in high school anyway, all of the old Greek plays. And Athens also had something else in abundance. Acts chapter 17 tells us. It tells us that Athens was full of idols. Full of idols. Everywhere you looked up and down the streets, you would find idols. Idols everywhere. So many idols that St. Paul, when he came through the town of Athens, the city of Athens, he was provoked in his spirit, the Bible says, and so it is for a Christian person. When you see things that are not of God or contrary to God, we're told that Paul was irritated by it to the point of anger. It's a strange situation. It doesn't seem to add up. Here you have a city that has so much. It has great learning to satisfy the hunger of people's minds. And it has all of the arts to satisfy the hunger of your passions. And it has the sciences to satisfy the hunger of your curiosities and your need to know things. Even has many people traveling here and there to satisfy the hunger of your eyes for new things to see. And then together with all of that, it's full of idols. Is it possible that maybe all of that learning and all of the arts and all of the sciences and all of the going to different places ultimately for people became been there, done that? Ultimately, it became something that was maybe a little bit empty or hollow or boring or tasteless. Instead of satisfying you, it didn't satisfy you. It just created more hunger, hunger for more experiences. Bible tells us that in our chapter for today. It says, now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling about or hearing about something new. Some new experience. Maybe all that they had started to become empty and hollow. They needed something new to fill up the empty space. Or maybe it went deeper than that. Maybe it was deeper in the fact that for all the learning or the arts or the sciences or skills or experiences that you may have, they have a strange way of shriveling up, withering away in the face of sickness or in the face of poverty or in the face of the evils and the uncertainties that seem to be the daily course in this world and even in the face of death. It was Shakespeare who said something to this effect. He said, never was there a philosopher that could bear a toothache. All the philosophies, all the things that you chase after in life, and then you get sick, or things go the wrong way. And so what do? Well, the city was full of idols. And what does that tell you? It tells you that this city, with all of the attributes that it had, was full of fears. It was full of uncertainties. It wasn't so sure of things as it made itself out to be. And the idols are a symptom of that. All of these gods to call upon, all of these spirits to call upon, to be placated, to be kept on your side, to be kept happy, to keep them working for you. It's like an insurance policy. What do you have to do when you have an insurance policy? You got to keep up with the payments. If you don't keep up with the payments, what happens? The policy lapses and you're not covered. So you have to pray, you have to offer sacrifices, you have to make offerings, you have to do good deeds, all of these things to keep up the policy, to keep the gods on your side, because life is so full of fears, so full of uncertainty, so full of things that just happen. The city was full of idols, even an idol to an unknown god, just in case we didn't get them all. Now we have an altar to the unknown God. Well, in today's lesson, we don't just meet the ordinary people of Athens. We also meet the philosophers. They come to us in today's lesson, and these are educated men. They are intelligent men. They have eyes in their head. They can see how things stand. And they represent different schools. We have the Epicureans and the Stoics here, but there are other schools as well too, but these will suffice for today. You have the Epicurean philosophers, and they have a concern, an overwhelming concern, and that is to set people free from fear. We will set you free from fear. Follow our philosophy. There's the fear of your fate, the fear of death, that it's the end. And so what did they say? What did they tell people? They said, here's the answer. Realize that we are just made up of atoms. Atoms is not a new concept. They had it back then. We are just made up of atoms. So if you're just made up of atoms, what's the point of worrying about fate or worrying about death? You're just atoms, and when you die, the atoms will all break apart, and then they will recombine into something new, and so things go on. Basically, don't worry. Be happy. Live your life. You got just a little bit brief time here. So live your life for what pleases you, what gives you enjoyment. Take advantage of it while you have the chance. And that's how you will achieve inner peace of mind and inner calm and security. Everything's just atoms. They come together, they go apart. What else are you going to say? Well, the Stoic philosophers, the other group that Paul meets, did have something else to say. This is what they had to say. They said God, they believed in God. God is good. And God is all-powerful. That's basically their creed. God is good and God is all-powerful. Therefore, all things that God has made, all things that are good. The universe is good. The world is good. There is no evil in it. So therefore, if suffering comes your way, or pain comes your way, or hardship comes your way, or you lose your job, or your marriage goes south, or you get a terminal illness, or death comes into the picture of your life, and you view those things as evil, then you are making a wrong judgment. You are making a flawed judgment. You are in error. And you need to learn to accept whatever comes your way as good. Whatever comes your way is good. Live according to the natural flow of things. Accept with calm and endurance whatever comes to you, and you will once again arrive in an inner place of peace and security. And so even today we talk about people being stoic or stoic acceptance. Now, what may be surprising to you and to me is how modern all of this sounds. But what should not surprise you is that it ultimately, when you ultimately add everything up, it ultimately does not work any better today than it did 2,000 years ago. Never was there a philosopher that could bear the toothache. Once your tooth starts aching, what happens to your philosophy and all your beautiful ideas and all of your well-spun thoughts? They go out the window. And not only that, it doesn't work because none of it is of the Lord. None of it originated with the Lord. None of it was sustained by the Lord. None of it comes with any promise of the Lord. And so it is, you can look at the life that you have and you can recognize that there are things that have their place in it, most certainly, but God did not put you here merely to pursue learning or the arts or the sciences or experiences. Those things are not the goal. They're not the destination. You think that when you're young. You think if I can get my backpack full of all of this stuff, I will finally arrive. But they are not the goal. They are not the destination. And not only that, God did not say that you have to placate him. He did not say that you have to keep him on your side, otherwise he's going to wander off. He did not say that you have to keep him happy. You got to keep him working for you. You got to keep up with the payments, keep making the offerings and the sacrifices and the prayers and the good deeds, because if you don't, the policy will lapse. The Lord said to you, your bill's already been paid. Your bill's already been paid. Your Lord Jesus lived a perfect life for you that counts before your heavenly Father. Your Lord Jesus died in your place for your sins so that there could be no sins counted against you. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You belong to the Lord. You're a child of God. It's not pay to play. The Lord already paid the price. And not only that, the Lord does not make you face the evils of this world and death itself with some words and some rambling thoughts about, well, you know, we're just atoms anyway. Or you need to visualize happiness. Or you need to have mindfulness. Or you need to have tough-mindedness. All manner of philosophies. No, Hebrews chapter 2, since therefore the children, that's you and me, share in flesh and blood, he himself, our Lord Jesus, likewise partook of the same things, so that through death he might destroy the power of the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and he might deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That's our faith. God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son. He didn't give a philosopher. He didn't give a philosophy. He didn't give an experience. He didn't give learning, education, whatever, sciences, whatever you want to call it, the arts. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so it is. You don't have to make God happy. The Lord was happy to give to you his life for yours, his life for mine, so we could have eternal life together with him, so you could reach the goal, the real destination. And so today's lesson. The times of ignorance, St. Paul said to the Athenians, the lower classes as well as the philosophers, he said, the times of ignorance God overlooked. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all of us by raising him from the dead. The times of ignorance God overlooked. We're done with that now. Although actually, are we? Are we done with the times of ignorance? If there is any path that's not of God, it's still the time of ignorance. If there's any path that's not sustained by the Lord, it's still the time of ignorance. You can have tech, you can have artificial intelligence, you can have all manner of things that we have in this life, all of the engineering, all of the projects that we do, but if it's not of God, it is still the times of ignorance. The Lord says, repent, have a change of heart, turn from the ignorance, turn from the paths that are not of God, and turn to your Lord Jesus, because a day is coming, the day of judgment, and the only way you're going to stand on that day is with the Lord Jesus. And so, rather than giving you just human answers, as good as they sound, your Heavenly Father raised his Son. And he said, this is a promise to you. As he was raised, you also will be raised. As he ascended to glory, you also will go to glory. As he sat at my right hand, you also will stand before me and inherit life everlasting. Not just more of this kind of life. No, the life as it was meant to be from the very beginning, the new life that the Lord gives to you, where there are not uncertainties, where there are not fears, and there's no need for philosophies or arts or sciences or anything else, because everything is filled up in your heart because you are together with the Lord. You live in the light of his presence, and you have joy in him. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.